Well, you got me again. I mean, I just, again, so thankful that I get to study my Bible. Tonight, we're going to talk about the work of love. So, kind of on that line of things about love, and we're going to just continue that thought. And we'll start in Philippians 2:13. And in Philippians 2:13 it says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's amazing how much the Lord packs into just one sentence for us. And it's amazing how much he can give to us in that. And in this verse, the Lord is trying to express to us that he has it. He has it. He has it.
Yes, he does.
He has it. And that he is working, but specifically, it's the life of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that's working in us. It's Christ in us. It's the Word. It's working in us right now. At this very moment, it's working in us. And it's working in love. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. First Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So as soon as we believe, immediately, that word is working in us. This word. But that's Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is working in us effectually, in love, immediately when we believe. So when it's saying in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you," that is immediate.
Yes.
That is right now. And that's everlasting. That's working in you now. That power is now. And I think sometimes we forget or get caught up in just all these daily things that we have to focus on. Christ is in us.
Amen.
He is alive in us. This is something that is not just a set it, forget it, a little ornament or something that we put in our lives, a possession that we have somewhere. This is a growing living thing, alive in us. It's working. It's not only just there to be there as a nice thought, as a good thing to reference when we're afraid, when we're fearful, when we're stressed. This thing is alive in us. And it's alive now. And I don't know how many times we can hear this in the Word of God, but it's not us that is doing this work.
Amen.
Right here is pointing to God immediately. "For it is God which worketh in you." It's not you which worketh for God, or you that's working towards God, or for yourself. It's God which worketh in you. And in that, let's look at Ephesians 2:8 and look at that work and that comparison and contrast of what our work is versus what God's work is. So Ephesians 2:8, It says, can I get there? For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we can immediately see this contrast of our works. It's not of our works. We are saved by grace through faith. So when we're referencing back to this verse, for it is God which worketh in you. It's him. It's always going to be him. It's not of us. It's not of our works. It's not of anything that we could do. It's not of anything that we could bring. It's his work. And we do labor according to his work. Let's go to Colossians 1:24. So Colossians 1:24, it says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, whom we preach, warning every man that teaches every man, and teaching every man in wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So all that, Paul's purpose, that he could make known that mystery, his whole labor, the things that he had did, all of that was just according to the work that had already been done. It was Christ's work. It was Christ's work that was already done. And when he says, I also labor, striving according to his work, he finishes it with saying, which worketh in me mightily.
Amen.
We have to understand, and I think that's why it's repeated over and over again, that it is never going to be our efforts that achieve anything. It's never going to be our efforts that achieve anything. It's hard to grasp that fully because we are human. And the only thing that we really know, our flesh knows, is to try and like do stuff, to figure it out, to try and labor, to try and work, to try and achieve something. I mean, that's what we're brought up, you know, from young kids. We're brought up, hey, you need to go make something of yourself. You need to go earn your keep. You need to occupy. You need to do these things. What Christ wants us to realize over and over again is that he has this work that he's begun in us. And when we see that, this labor that Paul's talking about, it just flows. It just goes. He would never have been able to do any of it. He would never have been able to bring this word forth of his own. If you look at his life, just the Apostle Paul, if you look at his life, if it wasn't for God interceding and coming in and stopping him in his tracks and saying, telling him, I am God. Stopping him right there in his tracks, saying, I'm the one that you're persecuting. I'm the one Not these Christians that you're seeing. It's me. He stopped him. Paul didn't like all of a sudden say, oh, maybe I should stop doing this. Maybe I should consider another way. Maybe I should try and read something and figure this out. Maybe I should look at their perspective and say, what should I do? He had no consideration for the lives of these Christians at the time that Jesus came to it and said, it's mine. I have it. I will take you. I will work this one in you. I will give you this word, and I will show you this mystery. There was nothing leading up to that. God just took him out. What did he do to merit that at that time? He did nothing to merit it. Jesus is after our hearts. He knows. He knows. We wouldn't be hearing his word in the depth of what it is.
Amen.
Without him knowing our hearts.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He knew us in eternity's past and said, you know what? I'm going to tell you what that mystery is. Not only am I going to tell you, I'm going to show you. I'm going to put it in your heart. Because I know that you have a heart for me.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
And I can't wait to show you what I can do. That's what he tells us over and over again. I can't wait. I can't wait to show you what I can do. Right now. Right now. Over and over again, we look at this word, work. In the Bible, there's all sorts of works that are repeated over and over again. And there's, in James, there's Christians that will believe that they can lose their salvation because of works. And we know that that's not true.
Amen.
Our pastor, Brother Hill, and so many have brought out that faith worketh by love. So when we talk about faith without works is dead, we're talking about faith without love. Galatians 5:5, we'll turn there. Galatians 5:5. And this is we can take this as a compass anytime we are looking at works, working, labor, anything. This Galatians 5:5, this is our compass on that. It says, it's 5:6, we'll go back to 5:5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
Amen.
So that circumcision, or that outward works, or things that we could do to ourselves to improve our position with God, or not, that doesn't do anything. Doesn't do a thing. Nothing. But faith, which worketh by love.
Yes.
So it's all about faith. It's all about faith. By faith, over and over again. It's by faith. It's by faith. The whole Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame achieved everything. It's by faith that you will overcome. It's by faith that we'll see Jesus face to face. It's by faith that we can overcome. It's by faith. It's by faith. But that only works by love. So over and over again, if we look at the Word of God and it says, if faith is the thing that accomplishes everything in our lives, and love is how it works, then we could just replace that work, any of that work, any of that labor, that's love. It's love. And in here, we're in that verse 5, it says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So if love is working into this faith, and the faith is accomplishing everything, then we're looking for this hope of righteousness. This hope of righteousness that is by the faith that only came about by love. That only works because of love. So what is this hope of righteousness by faith? In Isaiah 59, 17. I'll try to put it together here. Isaiah 59, 17. It says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate.
Amen.
And we could continue into these things. In a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. Let's go over to Ephesians 6:14. Ephesians 6:14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, and now let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:8. And I love how the Lord just, he'll show it to you this way, I'm going to show it to you that way, I'm going to show it to you so many different ways. So here's 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So what is the hope of righteousness? So let's just start with that righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness, also known as the breastplate of faith and love. So that righteousness is faith and love. That righteousness, that breastplate that we put on, is faith and love. And again, it's not something that we're working. It's not something that we're working. It's not our faith.
Amen.
It's not our love. We put on that breastplate of righteousness that is his faith and is his love.
Amen.
It's not by our works. It's by his faith and his love. That's our righteousness. So what is the hope of righteousness? So righteousness is that faith and love. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that crowning is that fullness of faith and love, that fullness of righteousness, that fullness of Christ. This faith and love, which is righteousness, it's the embodiment of our prize. And it is Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
That's Jesus right there.
Amen.
He's saying, I got it.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I'm going to have to do the work. I'm going to have to do the work. Jesus is saying to you, I'm going to have to do the work. You can't do it. And we can't. We are not strong enough.
Amen.
We don't have the faith.
We
don't have the love. We don't have the will. We don't have the knowledge. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to act. We don't know and have the skills to do anything. So when we get in there and try to do something, we're just kind of mingling it all up and messing it up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
They're going to mount up with wings,
Amen.
Eagle's wings.
Thank you.
They're going to run. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. Because they waited on the Lord to do it.
Amen.
They waited on the Lord to take it.
Yes, He did.
They waited on the Lord to work it.
Yes, He did.
Thank you, Lord.
So it's God. It is God in us. That causes our hearts to respond. When it says will, it's that desire. There's been times in my life where I've wanted nothing to do with the word. And there's been times where it's kind of like gray. Where I know it's there, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But I don't necessarily know if I can take hold of the things, you know? It's kind of a gray, it's kind of a blur. And God's been faithful in my life.
Oh, yes. Amen.
To change my heart, to put things in my path. That I would want to avoid. I'd want to avoid these things completely. And I know there's stuff that's in your path. I know there's something in your life that you're facing. That you would never want that.
Sure.
But He's put these things in our path.
Amen. Amen.
For one purpose.
Amen.
Yes.
For us to believe.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
It's a privilege.
The will of God is for us to believe.
Amen.
And that grows up into us. That grows up in us. That becomes more and more. And that desire is brought out of us.
Amen.
To where we want to seek Him.
Amen. Yes, amen.
It is God
Jesus.
That causes us to will, to want, to desire, to desire. We could look at the outward appearance in everyone's life, in the Bible, in all these different situations, and whether it's something that was good or something that was bad, and we could say, is that the will of God? Is it the will of God that I've had friends that have had family members, children that have been, a truck has backed over their child in the driveway, and that child's died. And you say, is that the will of God? There is God's will is for us to believe Him.
Yes. Amen.
To believe that He loves us, that He gave His Son to die for us.
Yes.
So that we could live. And not only that, that He has a calling on our lives that's more.
Yes.
I don't just want you to believe in me so that I can save you. I don't want you to believe in me so that you can just be free from sin. I don't want you just to believe so that you can feel good about yourself. I want you to believe in me so that we can be one.
Amen.
I am calling on your life. I am saying you are mine.
Yes.
I don't want all that. I just want you. I want your heart to be one with me. I want you to be my wife. I want you to marry me. I want us to be one. That is the will of God, that all would come to the full knowledge, not just this base knowledge of salvation, this base knowledge of love that the world can know. The world can see love. The world can see affection. It can see desire. It can see all these things. But the world can't see what God is after. They can't see what this real love is. They can't perceive it. They can't comprehend it. What he's after is this oneness, this true love, him. God is love. He wants us to be one with his son, to come to that full knowledge. That is the will of God. And he's going to do whatever it takes.
That's right.
That's what his will is. Whatever it takes to get you to believe.
Amen.
That's true, that his promises are yea and amen. He cannot deny himself. That's what his will is.
Yes.
That is what his will.
Praise
and he causes us to want that. He causes us to want that. You couldn't want it. You couldn't want it. And for Jesus, we wouldn't want it. Because of what it will take. And that's the do. It's going to take. But it's all for God's pleasure. To will and do of his good pleasure. And what is God's pleasure?
Us.
Yeah.
It is us.
Yeah.
And how do we get there? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please God.
Yeah.
Amen.
If we don't have faith, God, if there was no faith, then God has no pleasure.
That's right.
If it's impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
So if there was no faith, God would have no pleasure.
That's right. Amen.
Our faith is the ecstasy of God.
That's right.
When we believe, what pleases God?
Amen.
When we believe in
Amen.
His promises.
Amen.
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 Yes.
And everything that we see is accomplished by this faith. Let's go to Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16, it says, my eyes weren't working there for a second. It's in Philippians. Ephesians 3:16, here we go. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We can't even start. We can't even start without faith. But it's his.
Thank you.
So our starting point is there. It's assured. We got it.
Thank you.
But it's our finish. That believing. That looking for his appearing, believing that he's going to do it, that he's going to come today.
Yes.
That he's going to accomplish it today.
Thank you.
And I think There's times, I think everybody's probably taken a vacation before. Hopefully. Or maybe flown on a plane. And there's vacations where I've had it all like planned out, packed maybe a day before, and you know, ready to go. And you know, I get on, go to the airport early, hang out, go. That trip's good. But there's other times where I haven't even done laundry. Nothing's done. I'm not packed. I don't have anything ready. And I got like, you know, maybe a couple hours before I probably need to go to bed. The flight's 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, you can feel kind of the stress of like, oh, there's all this stuff going on. But somehow, I packed my bags. I got to the airport. I did that trip. I know that Jesus wants us to know. It doesn't matter what your life looks like, what the condition of it is, what the condition of the things that are going on in your life looks. Believe him, you're going to make that trip.
That's right, amen.
Amen.
Believe him,
amen.
He's going to fulfill it.
Amen.
He's going to accomplish it in your life.
Amen.
Thank you.
He'll get it done.
Yes.
It looks like you don't have time. You have time. He would stop time.
Thank
for you.
You.
Amen. Thank you.
He would move time. He has it all.
Lord.
It doesn't matter what it appears like.
Right.
He has it.
Yes.
Amen.
And he's going to accomplish it. And this faith that allows Christ to dwell in our hearts, that gives us this love that's working love, this life, this living thing, it's allowing us to comprehend and understand what that is. It's allowing us, when we're getting ready for that trip and we may seem like everything's not ready, to know that God, you have it, and to be at peace, that you will perform it.
That's right, amen.
This love
that
he wants us to know is just to say, I have it, and will we believe in it? So that we can have that peace, so that we can enter into that rest, so that we can have that fellowship with him. Because all these things that are surrounding us, that are distracting us, that are causing us to look away, that are causing us to be stressed out, he has it in his hands.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord. He's going to perform it. He's going to do it. And really, 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 it's not our works. Over and over again, I think, I get back to it, and I'm sure you guys do sometimes as well. It's like, what do I do next? What do I do now? What can I do? What's going on? Why is these things in my life not going on exactly how I think they should be going? Like even with something as simple as like being sick or something like that, you know, should I take an Advil or should I just wait it out? There's all these like decisions that you like you put in your mind. And you're like, oh, what should I do? I don't want to oversimplify it, but I believe God for it. And in almost every single case, it doesn't matter what you decide.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It really doesn't matter what your decision is.
Praise the Lord.
Decide. Decide and believe. And if you're not sure that you have that belief, you didn't have it anyways. God has that belief for you. He has it. He has that faith for you. He has it, and He's always had it. So when we're like struggling with like, what could I do? What should I do? What's going to happen? I feel like, I don't feel it. I know He has anticipated our belief. He has that anticipation that we'll believe Him. Because it's Him, is God that worketh in us to both will and do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
So if He's working in us for that, He has an anticipation that we'll believe Him for it. He has this anticipation for His pleasure, His ecstasy. For our faith to happen. And I'm so thankful that it's Him that has that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that it's Him that has it. Because if it was us, if it was our own working, we'd never get to that believing. We really wouldn't. It's too hard for us to summon the courage or get past all of our mess that's up in our head and our mind. There's a whole there is a desire to believe sometimes for things that when we're trying to analyze it, we're trying to think, how can I believe this? We're thinking, how is this possible that I could believe this? We're trying to understand the workings of God. When He says, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I will perfect that which concerns
yes.
you.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And that is that faith in your life. He's going to perfect that faith.
Amen.
He's going to bring it out. And one day He's going to show it. He's going to say, well done. He's going to look at you. And so if we go back to that do, that affliction, those sufferings, those things, it's just a light affliction. God is working us, working in us to get us to that point of faith. He's doing it all. Second Corinthians 4:17. We'll go ahead and turn over there. Second Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's just a moment. It is just a moment. But all those things are working for our good.
Amen.
We just had that amazing, amazing, amazing study in Romans.
Yeah.
All things work together for our good. They're working for our good. Specifically pointing out this light affliction is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Even the things that God is bringing us, He's not only doing the work, He's making these other things work as well for us. Everything surrounding is working for us. Everything that He's created is working for us for that one purpose, for that will of God, for us to know Him completely, to be one with Him. Everything is working and moving us in that direction. It's not... It's not for our detriment.
Right. Amen.
He is working it for our good.
Amen.
It feels like a lot of times there are things that are against us that we face. There are times that it seems like everything, like nothing's easy, right? You're like, you have those days or those weeks where, you know, it seems like every other step that you take, there's something that's blocking your way. Lord, why can't these things be a little bit easier? But that's working for our good.
Yes, it is.
And this work He has in us, in me, I'm also here, and we're also here to encourage that work in one another.
Yeah.
Encourage that work that's going on in us. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. First Thessalonians 5:9, it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." God is calling us. This esteem is like respect and admiration. But that Greek word also means to lead. He wants us to have that respect and admiration in love for that work that's going on in each other's lives, for that love that's going on in each other's lives. But that lead, there's an urgency there. For one another. We should have an urgency for one another.
Amen.
We should want to gather together. I spoke about that, submit to one another. And when it breaks down, when God wants us to submit, even that, wives, submit to your husband. Jesus is calling His bride, submit to me. But that is just, hear me, and respond. And when we're submitting to one another and we're looking at one another and the work that God is working in their lives, do we hear what God has for our brothers and sisters? Do we believe the Lord for our brothers and sisters? He wants us to hear what he has for them and respond. He wants us to respond. He wants us to believe. Second Timothy 2:10. Second Timothy 2:10, it says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Yeah. I want this for you. But I couldn't want this for you without wanting it for me. I want this for you, but I couldn't want it. I couldn't even want it if I didn't want it for myself.
That's right.
But that desire, again, God puts in our heart. And I want it for you. I want to encourage you. We should encourage each other. That we have this message, that we have this word, that we have this opportunity in this life. He's given it to us. So let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another in the Word.
Amen.
Let's do that. Not because we have to. Not because we're trying to appear or do anything. God has that for our lives. He's going to cause it to come out. So when He causes that, take hold of it and believe it. And let Him do the work in you. Because He has called you for that. And thank the Lord. Again, we keep going in this verse, in this 2 Timothy 2:10. We'll just keep reading. I'll start over again. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He's the faithful one. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. So looking at that verse, Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes. And I saw it as this. It is the life of Christ in us that causes us both to desire, love, and believe his promises. It's the life of Christ that does that. That's bringing that out of us. And let's depend upon him. Let's put all of it on him. He wants us to. Cast all your burdens upon him. Take his yoke. He wants it all. He wants all of that. Every bit of it, he wants to do it. Just believe him for it, because he's going to accomplish it. He's going to do it. He's going to do the work.
Amen.
I hope it's been a blessing.
Yes, amen.